Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens, families, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to discuss and various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Joining me, this edition of 411 Teen recognizes students from Sale High School. We have Madeline Christian. Madeline is a junior. She is into history and psychology and music and politics.
Hi, this is Madeline Christian.
And we have Taylor Welch. Taylor, ninth grade, crochet, guitar, and math are her thing.
Hi, I'm Taylor Welch.
And Cooper Wright. Cooper is a senior. He is into policy writing and modern rock and plans to be an attorney, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I am glad to have you all here. I appreciate you coming. And this edition of 411 Teen examines a dangerous trend. In 2003, e-cigarettes were invented in China as a way to deliver nicotine without the cancer-causing tar and chemicals in tobacco cigarettes. E-cigarettes were introduced in the United States in early 2007. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, e-cigarettes have grown in popularity, especially among young folks. 25% of high school seniors admit to the use of e-cigarettes in the last 30 days. Yet fewer teens, are smoking cigarettes than ever. So there's something going on there, I'd agree. The prevalence of smoking in America has declined drastically since 1964, when the U.S. Surgeon General released a major report linking smoking to lung cancer and other health problems. But the emergence of e-cigarettes with attractive flavors like Yummy Gummy Bear, cotton candy, banana split, makes smoking cool. What is your position on smoking cigarettes in general and e-cigarettes specifically? You know, there's been so much to talk about with e-cigarettes, so this was just timely that we decided we were going to talk about e-cigarettes our first time back from school. So I will start and just move around and feel free, you know, to share your comments. Madeline.
You know, I grew up around people who smoke cigarettes, mm-hmm. just regular ones, and I don't agree with that. I feel you're gonna harm yourself, but harm others. You know, secondhand smoke's a big deal. And if you're gonna smoke, okay, but I have a problem with e-cigarettes because a lot of kids at my school are smoking, vaping them in the bathrooms, mm-hmm. and it's just, and it's kind of hard to explain, but they have all these scents in them, and they can cause allergic reactions. And another thing my school does to prevent people from juuling in a bathroom is by locking the girls' bathrooms, specifically the girls, because I think there's only a female monitor. And overall, if you're going to smoke something, smoke cigarettes. Don't just go with e-cigarettes. Just smoke a regular cigarette. Don't try to be like, oh, it's better for me. No, they're both bad. Just smoke a cigarette if you want to get off on something.
Are you finding that same experience?
Well,
where do you sit on that? How do you feel about it, Taylor?
How I feel is I grew up, both of my parents smoked, okay. and, you know, to me it wasn't a big deal. And then they decided to stop, and their way of coping with it was vaping for a period of time. And, you know, I was just, in my mind, I was hearing all these things about smoke and how, like, bad it was. And so I was just glad that they were doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I think about it, if we're specifically, like, talking about teens, like, my opinion on it is unless you're a legal age, unless you're legally medicated for it, if we're talking about cannabis or anything like that, like, go for it. But because that's your life, you know? But if you're under the age, if you're not supposed to be having it, if it affects your daily life, then at that point, you just need to understand that something's going wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's my opinion.
And, sir?
Well, if I could snap my fingers right now, I would probably remove both e-cigarettes and e-cigarettes and cigarettes from the world entirely. But sadly, that's not exactly how the world works. We need to figure out what is an effective way to prevent people, especially underage people, from consuming these very addictive tobacco-laden products. Because I actually did some research before I went on here.
Oh, okay.
Tobacco, it's a pretty weak drug comparatively, but it's shown to have very negative effects on impulse control, development, and many other little small things.
Well, nicotine actually is very addictive.
It is.
Yes.
One of the most addictive substances.
You are right. It's one of the most addictive substances. Let me ask you, what's the attitude amongst your peers, amongst your friends? You've talked about how it's fine, Taylor, as long as you are of age. But we aren't talking about people who are of age. I mean, just even you describing the folks who you know, they're not of age, and they are vaping. So what's the attitude about it? Go for it, Madeline.
Okay. I know only a handful of people because I've stumbled upon them in the bathrooms vaping. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't tell the teacher because, I mean, unless they're in there all the damn time doing what they shouldn't be doing and closing off the bathrooms, I wouldn't tell the teacher about it. But most of the attitude at Sale just seems to be like, really, you're vaping in the bathroom? Really, you got nothing else to do? You're closing all the bathrooms? I need to go to the bathroom? Yeah, you want to vape in there so I can't go to the bathroom because you're vaping? Just mainly people being annoyed and just making mm-hmm. fun of vaping because a lot of people think it's ridiculous. Just
how prevalent is it? I mean, are a lot of students doing it? Do you have a lot of friends? Go for it. Yeah.
I feel like there's only a handful of people who do it. And yeah. I don't think I have particularly any friends who do it at school. I might have some that do it at home that I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But at school, no, there's only a handful of people. I don't have any friends like that. I agree with Madeline on, like, the attitudes towards it. You know, everybody's just, like, kind of, like, seriously? You're doing this now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's mainly, like, what's going on.
Do you have friends that vape?
I don't have any friends that vape. But like you said earlier, you said about 25% of all teenagers admit to using e-cigarettes. But that's only admitting. There could be
a lot more.
There could be a lot more. There could be no more. We have no idea. But we know that at the bare minimum, it's at least 25%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. So that's not a handful.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a significant number. And the attitude, we talk about how of the use of cigarettes has decreased among teens, and it really has. It's significantly decreased among teens. Yet, this e-cigarettes has skyrocketed. That's the problem. That's why everybody is looking at it. That's why everybody's talking about it. In addition to, you know, we've had 6 deaths, and there are like over 450 individuals who are experiencing serious respiratory illnesses from the use of these e-cigarettes. And what happens with the e-cigarette, basically, you know, they, as I mentioned, they were developed, invented in China in around 2003, and they were invented as a way to deliver nicotine without all the cancer-causing tar and chemicals that we see in tobacco cigarettes. That was initially why they were invented. And for those who are listening, and the e-cigarettes, they are usually a handheld battery-powered device that vaporizes a liquid, and this liquid nicotine, and it vaporizes without the burning. So you have the vapor. When it gets hot, you have the vapor, and the vapor, you know, eliminates supposedly the burning of that whole cancer-causing tobacco and cigarettes. So that's, but one, what is it? One capsule that may be used in an e-cigarette can deliver enough nicotine for a whole pack of cigarettes. I was blown away when I read that. I didn't realize that. That one capsule, because you buy the little capsules, and that's the liquid that you're vaping with. And one capsule has enough nicotine as if you have smoked a whole pack of cigarettes.
And that's just crazy.
You mind if I interject for a
second? No, yes, feel free.
All right, so here's the thing. Imagine that you just started vaping, right? You have no idea how much nicotine is in this capsule. Right. You might be getting a lot more in there than you expect. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what can get a lot of kids to go down with these sicknesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't know.
You can see, you know, your box of cigarettes slowly going away, but you cannot really see your Juul capsule, like, slowly trickling down.
That's an excellent
And it looks like
point.
So little, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, consciously, you might be aware of that, but you're not really thinking about that, are you?
No. I don't think you are, and that's really the problem. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the share of young people using e-cigarettes doubled in 2012 from we're talking about 2012 now, from the previous year. Why are we seeing this increase? Now, here we are talking about just, is it that people don't know? I mean, don't know, don't care? Where do you get your information from? How are you educated? And I say this just even to you all. How have you been educated? How did you form your opinions about cigarette smoking and e-cigarettes? Is there a class that you take? I mean, where does this information come from? We're going to have to take a break, and we'll come back. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This is Dr. Liz Hollifield, and I am talking with Madeline Christian, Taylor Welch, and Cooper Wright. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this hour we are talking about e-cigarettes. Cooper, you had a story you were going to share with us, and I had to interrupt you. Now you were in the hot seat.
I am. So I was on a school trip. It lasts about a week. Sale does it every single year. And actually, somebody broke up with their girlfriend over e-cigarettes, and I'll explain it to you. So somebody got into a relationship with somebody else, all right, and they were dating for a little while. But eventually he gets a text where she asks him for money so she can buy vaping juice or for him to buy it for her. And he goes along with it for a little while, but she starts doing it more and more. And it gets to the point where he gets frustrated. So he calls her from probably like hundreds of miles away. Because he's fed up with it.
Mm-hmm.
To just tell her that it's over. Because she became so dependent on nicotine that it was dipping into his wallet.
Well, and thanks for sharing it. Because that is actually a real issue. And I was going to ask you, you've anticipated, you must have been. How do folks get the little capsules? If you're under 18, but that was an example right there. They got somebody to buy them for them, right?
I think he was 18 at the time.
No, but the girlfriend.
Yeah, she was not.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So that's one way that they're getting these. Folks can't see your faces, but you all are like somber. This is not a good topic. It's not a good thing. Do you, excuse me, okay, as far as e-cigarettes are concerned, how do you address it with friends? How would you address it with friends if you have friends who are and you're smiling? I'll start with you, Madeline. I must have hit a note.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's
just
okay.
Sorry, you mentioned something.
And that made you think about something. Yeah. That's all right. I can always come back to you. That's not a problem at all. Okay. As far as another thing I had asked you about is, where do you get your information about cigarettes? Is there a class that you take? Who informs you? How did you come up with your attitude about them? All three of you are saying, no, that's not for me. I'm not into it. They've got problems. There's health problems. There's all these side effects. How did you form that? How did you come up with that, Cooper?
Well, every once in a while, the news will give out some information that was like just recently discovered about the effects of vaping. Just recently, Politico was talking about those cases that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, vaping is pretty young, and it just got really popular. So, you know, the long-term effects are just beginning to trickle in.
Yeah.
And we don't know what's going to happen 20, 30 years in the future.
Okay, so that's how you formed your opinions on it, okay?
Well, for me, it was a couple of things. You know, growing up with parents who did that, family members. And then also social media is where I'm pretty sure most people got their stuff. That's how they probably found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is just, like, having friends who did it because they thought it was cool. And to me, I never found it appealing. I wasn't like, oh, let me go in the bathroom and vape.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was never me.
That just didn't appeal to you.
No.
Well, my dad, he kind of still does drink, but he was what you would be considered a few years ago a functional alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And he smoked a lot when I was younger. Like, when the first few years of my life, he stopped smoking and he started smoking again. And it was mainly alcohol. And I've had bad instances with my dad related to alcohol. And my mom doesn't like it. She's never smoked. She never drinks because it just makes her feel bloated. So she's never done that around me. And, you know, I know alcohol and cigarettes are highly, like, you can get addicted to them. And so I know that what alcohol can do to someone. And my family, me and my dad and my mom, are very anxious people. So I've kind of learned from my dad, like, what could happen if I take on a bad habit such as smoking or drinking a bunch. So I've just kind of strayed away from that.
So just observing your dad and being in that family was a deterrent enough for you. Okay. You all are young folks. You need to tell us, what do you think would be an effective deterrent for your peers and for young folks who are picking? I mean, how do we make inroads into this? Yes, ma'am.
This is going to sound really just forceful, but teenagers, I say that I'm a teenager too, but a lot of people aren't going to listen to you. Like, young people aren't going to listen to you because they're like, so what, I'm young. They can't think of in the future because their frontal lobe isn't, their planning up here isn't developed. So they're like, well, that's years from now. That's future, I guess, kind of a future me problem, or they just don't think about it. So I think really the best way to do it is just because we've tried to educate them, say, hey, this is all the side effects. This is what's happening. But a lot of them still don't listen. Older eyes. There's a kid. I know some kids in my classroom when they showed the CNN video about the guy who had a really bad reaction to it, they were rolling their eyes. And I'm like, so I feel like it's like, okay, if you're not going to listen and you're not going to care about your future, then someone needs to make that decision for you. Your parents, the teachers, like, you clearly aren't responsible enough to think about it. Like, just think about it. It's so I feel like the decision needs to be made for somebody them.
Somebody needs to step in,
yeah,
and make that decision.
And it may be just, maybe I should have more confidence in people, but it's just...
Well, I mean, you're right there with them. You see what's working. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying...
Yeah, because just people view you as preachy and won't listen to you if you're just like, hey, if you just keep repeating, hey, this is what happens, they're not going to care.
What about marketing? How do you... It seems like that particularly Juul, it's the biggest one, has marketed their product to young folks. And they don't taste, from what I understand, when you're using an e-cigarette, you don't taste the nicotine at all.
Mm-mm.
Okay? You taste, I talked about the flavors, yummy gummy bears, or banana split, or cucumber, or mango. That's what you're tasting when they're in their vaping. So that also is deceptive. You look like you want to go right ahead. Say something.
I was just going to say, just because how I feel about it is because they are younger, they can get addicted more easily. And so they see how these kids are, I say kids, but, you know, young adults are, you know, going out there vaping because they think it's cool. But they also might be, you know, quote unquote, addicted. And so they see that and they're like, hey, if I make these fun flavors, maybe they'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like the flavors and it's like a sweet kind of thing for them. And so they don't feel like they're in the wrong because it's, you know, they're just, I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, they're just, they don't think they're in the wrong. And so they think, another thing back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier was when they don't think they're in the wrong, they're not going to accept that they are in the wrong. And so, you know, when companies know that acceptance is a really hard thing to do when you have an addiction, they continue to market it and they continue to come out with a new flavors and things for kids to try. So, I don't know how to explain it.
They keep them coming.
Yeah.
They keep them interested.
Because they know they're going to sell more.
Mind if I add to that?
Yeah, so, sure.
I don't really think that there's a single adult out there, or very few, that would vape a bubble gum flavored Juul or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I also couldn't imagine a teenager puffing away on something that's like tastes like garbage.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you could circumvent that problem with cigarettes smelling and tasting awful by just making it taste good. Right? You slap some, you know, bubblegum flavoring there. You make it taste like banana, orange, whatever. Anything that's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And you mask the true flavor.
Yeah.
Death.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yo, go right ahead.
On how kids get addicted, I think, like, a lot of kids, like, I'm going to be honest, sometimes when I see characters in movies and they're smoking, I'm like, that's kind of cool looking. Like, I would never do it, but, you know, I can admit, you know, smoking kind of does look cool with some people. But with Juuling, I mean, I guess they want to be cool since that's the new thing, but, you know, they don't know everything about it. So they're like, oh, it's harmless. It's not like smoking, but it's cool like smoking. But then when they realize the issues, they're like, I can't stop because I'm addicted. You know,
Exactly.
Kind of process.
Oh, and I kind of want to add on that when you were talking about, I'm sorry. The thought will come back to me.
That's right. E-cigarettes obviously are directed at young folks because of all the various flavors. Whose responsibility is it? What responsibility does the manufacturer have of these e-cigarettes?
I feel they should be held most accountable for this.
Okay.
Just, I remember my teacher, after she showed us the CNN video, I keep bringing up that point again, or what we watched this morning.
Must have been really impressive. You just saw it.
Yeah, this morning. And she mentioned how when she was in college, I don't know what year this was, but they banned cigarettes having any other flavor other than just nicotine or tobacco or whatever. And because they would use the flavors to, I guess, kind of in a sense, prey on kids. But, I mean, the manufacturer have a big responsibility. They should be held accountable. But I also feel the parents should have a huge responsibility, too, because some of these kids, you know, they have them, they're smoking, they're juuling all the time. I'm like, how do your parents not know you have these? Did they give them to you? Like, how did they not realize that? Like,
well, we'll come back. You look like you had something you wanted to share, Taylor.
Just going to say that, like, I know my parents are very watchful over me. I wouldn't do anything anyway, but I know they're very protective and try to make sure I'm doing the best I can. But some parents aren't like that.
Yeah.
And some parents aren't even home all the time. And so these kids are by themselves. And so they probably have older friends or stuff like that who can help them get what they need. Not need, I apologize.
Get
want. Yes.
Well, when they're addicted, then they need it.
So, but that's all I was going to say about it.
I think you bring up a good point. Because you can legally get a Juul in high school age, it would be very easy for you to give it or sell it to your other friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But what if you bump that up a few years? 21.
Yeah.
How many 21-year-olds have high school friends? I mean, you do, but are you really like friends with freshmen and sophomores, maybe a few seniors?
Right.
Not many people would be giving them Juuls if you had to legally be 21 in order to get an e-cigarette. I think that'd actually be really effective. Maybe it doesn't look that way at first, but I think in practice that'd be the right thing to do.
I mean, were you going to say something? Go ahead.
Well, maybe when you're 21, you probably shouldn't know 14 and 15-year-olds in high school. I'm just going to say that.
Well,
like, at least, you know, just random people.
I wanted to address how kids, because both of you made some comments about how parents should be responsible. And I agree somewhat. But you know that teens can smoke and parents don't know anything about it. First of all, some of these e-cigarettes, they look like flash drive. Yeah, that's right. They look like that. And so you could just be sitting there act like you're chewing on or holding on it. And your parents don't know. They don't have a odor to them. So you don't really know that they're smoking nicotine, right? So I read examples of how students have told me how they smoked in the classroom.
Like straight up smoked or vaped?
Well, no, vaped.
Okay.
Let me use the correct.
They had to be very sneaky.
Yeah, no, vaped. And let me stand corrected, how they vaped in the classroom. And they were sitting in the back of the classroom and they would take out their vaping pen, okay, and vape. Pardon me. I felt it coming. Don't you think that's possible?
How I feel on it is I think we should be like, hey, this is what's going on and you need to be watchful of it. And like I said earlier, not everybody can get to it, but social media is a really big thing. That's how this whole thing even started. You know, for like people who don't really like social media, newspapers, media, just in general, to get it across the board, like, hey, this is actually bad. Can you help us like decrease the percentage that it's at?
Okay.
I do have to say, I think that raising awareness doesn't really do anything for the people who are already addicted.
No.
So here's an idea. What if vapes legally had to be a certain size, or at least a minimum size, so that they couldn't be hidden. And they also had to be a specific color. And I guess that you could cover it with something to help hide it. But it would be very difficult to say that you're holding a pen to your mouth when it's covered in cloth.
Yeah.
Right? And so that way you couldn't sneak it in class. And it's not like it's going to be that big of a deal. I mean, say, maybe like the size of this tiny little water bottle I'm holding in my hand right now. Mm-hmm. Like that size, that'd be very hard to hide. And at the same time, it wouldn't be like super authoritarian and difficult to enforce.
They look like that, huh?
If somebody wanted to legally get an e-cigarette, they could, right? If you were forced to hide it, it'd be
I
very
asked
hard.
You all because you are the folks who are vaping. So I'm thinking you would know more than anyone else what you think might be effective. Suggestions? I mean, Cooper's given his suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most, like, aggressive way, but I still think the social media thing, which I understand. I get your point. And then, I don't know. I agree with Cooper on what he said. And I think it would be really helpful because having a bright yellow vape, you know, you can't really hide that.
You have to, like, cup your whole hand around it, too.
And especially, like, people like me who have, like, baby hands. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I don't know. It's something to think about. And another thing I'm going to throw out there is what it's just about banning all of it. You came up with something at the very beginning, Cooper, when you said cigarettes and vaping need to be banned all the way across the board. You tuned into 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and families and other interested folks. This hour, I am talking with students from Sale High School. I'm talking with Madeline Christian, Taylor Welch, and Cooper Wright. We are examining this whole epidemic of e-cigarettes and vaping. Some countries have totally banned e-cigarettes. I think Canada, Mexico, Brazil. And you mentioned that at the very beginning, Cooper, about just banning them. So what do you think about banning?
Well, I was going to say that if I could, I would, but there's a gray line there. Mm-hmm. Because vaping, in a way, could help people deal with cigarette smoking. And from the little that we know, vaping is probably better than that, all right? So I don't want to, throw it off the table. There are alternate solutions to making it difficult to vape illegally while still giving adults an alternate solution to smoking, which can cause, disgusting black lungs, cancer all across the board, in your mouth, your lungs, anywhere where it has contacts. I think that banning solves the issue in a way, but there are better ways of going around with it.
Okay. Other comments? Go right ahead.
Okay. I agree with his statement. I also feel like if we did ban it, I feel like people would find ways around it, ways to make their own. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like, yes, it would be effective for a while, and then it would all just crumble down hill. So.
Well, I don't know. You all make it sound kind of hopeless. Like there's nothing we can do, you know. And just again, for our listening audience, when we're talking about a vaping device, we're talking about a battery and a heating coil and a tank, basically. This tank can be filled with different types of liquid. They may be nicotine. When the coil gets hot, the liquid is often flavored. So when you vape, you have this, you don't have the smoke, you have the vapors, because it's vaporizing the liquid. And that's what we're talking about. As we mentioned earlier, One cartridge can contain as much as a whole pack of cigarettes. Okay. And some of these e-cigarettes, the cartridges may have toxic materials in them. That's what they're finding out, such as cadmium. And cadmium is a metal, and this metal causes breathing problems. So that might be some of what we are seeing today. But again, the problem is many teens, many young folks do not see these e-cigarettes as dangerous. Yes, ma'am.
So back on the topic of should we ban them, mm-hmm. I'm not for banning them at the moment. Well, I'm still looking at the news and everything that's going on. Like, because, I mean, I feel like we shouldn't just put much more restrictions on them. Like, you can't have flavored, like, more restrictions, like the big yellow bottle mm-hmm. or something, mm-hmm. like Cooper was talking about. Mm-hmm. And I feel if we just ban them, like, kind of like how Prohibition was, Cooper was mentioning something like that before we came in, it will just lead to people making them themselves, which can be more dangerous. Like when they tried to make alcohol themselves, some people die because they wouldn't mix it right or whatever, and that could lead to organized crime. I mean, it's one thing, it's an e-cigarette, and not a lot of people like need it in their want it in their lives like alcohol. But I still feel that could be a big problem if we were to ban it. And what would likely happen is we would ban it for a few years, realize the mistake we've made, bring it back, and just have a bunch of restrictions on it, like kind of like how we did with alcohol.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that sometimes I don't want to be like in your face about like this one specific thing, but I know that when we're talking about just vaping in general, it's not just nicotine. It's THC, it's medical marijuana, it's all that kind of stuff. And so for people who do need it, if we just ban it, then what's going to happen to them? Because banning it just altogether just makes mm-hmm. them not have it. And so for especially people who I can't come up with like a specific like syndrome or medical thing.
I know some people with chronic pain, you know, use medical marijuana.
And, like, I know I have a family member who is diagnosed for medical marijuana. Or I said diagnosed, but
as a prescription.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it helps her calm down, you know. It helps mm-hmm. with her emotional state and anxiety. And it helps her live her day-to-day life without having to worry about these little things. Mm-hmm. And if we take that away from people, then what's gonna happen to them? They need this stuff, and just saying, like, if we ban it, then it's gonna be all together gone.
That's a good point. They need to exist, but in a way that any person can't get their hands on it if they have, you know, some random friend.
What if we took away all the flavors? If you didn't have the flavors, then those who vaped e-cigarettes would just be vaping the nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it would taste that appealing.
No.
That may be a way to deal with it.
I know for me, like, you know, those, like, wax, like, those two, those aren't good unless you have, like, a flavor
in them. Mm-hmm.
And so it's, like, you'll have those little wax lips or whatever, and then you're, like, this isn't good. And then you'll see another product, which is the same thing, except it has a blue raspberry flavor to it. And you're, like, oh, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
So once you take the flavoring away, you're like, do I really want this? And I know it's a bad example, but
it's a good example.
It kind of just like, I feel like that might be the same way with the vaping or
Well, one thing I want to get back to, because in these last few minutes that I didn't get a feel for, is what is the responsibility of the manufacturer? What do they owe? What's their responsibility to the population, to teens, to parents. They're the ones who are manufacturing this. Do they have any responsibility? I guess they're saying, hey, we make it, and whoever decides to purchase it, that's on them. Or do you feel like they have any responsibility in this?
I feel like they kind of know what's going on. And because almost the whole world is like going, like has problems with it, or has, you know, pros to it or something about it. And so they kind of know what's going on. I don't think they've really done anything about it specifically. Mm-hmm. And so what I think they need to do is slowly start maybe like doing less and less of them, but not like too much, because there are some people who just like, you can't mm-hmm. just go cold turkey, mm-hmm. you know? And so, but another thing is, going back to what we were saying earlier, I think we need to make new, you know, those bright yellow big ones.
So it's easily identified, so nobody yes. could do it incognito.
And I think like as, you know, we're in Florida, all this other stuff. I don't know mm-hmm. if it's like a state law or like a Congress law, or I don't know what it's called. Mm-hmm. But I, going back earlier, I think we should make it to where it's like 21.
Okay.
You know, you can drink, you can vape, you can smoke. Boom, okay. Pow, chicka wow.
Well, just for your information, CDC recommends no vaping, no e-cigarettes, period. That's what they're recommending. Mm-hmm. And Melania Trump has now, you know, gotten into that. She's calling it an epidemic, and President Trump is, I don't know what he's recommending. I just don't know. I mean, I think he's recommending banning flavors, or because, you know, he changes so often. But when in banning flavors, we're talking about menthol too, just banning all the flavors. So, but what about, okay, we've talked about the responsibility of the manufacturers. Where do the retailers sit in this?
Perhaps the retailers should educate themselves a bit more, like just about the side effects, you know, read the contents on the box, just, you know, before they buy.
Okay.
I mean, I would say that they, you know, need to check IDs, they need to do all this stuff, but there are so many ways these days to get fake IDs or to look older than you look.
And so
it's like, it's, you know, yes, they're at fault, but at the same time, it's just like this day and age, things are so different that it's kind of hard to blame them for certain things that they're not responsible for.
Okay. That's what you feel?
Yeah. I mean, as long as they're checking for IDs, I think that's pretty much as far as the responsibility lies.
Okay.
They really just sell the product. As long as they're following government laws, it's fine. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say they could refuse to sell it.
That's true.
Mm. You know, all stores don't.
CVS or Target mm-hmm,
That's what I'm saying. They could refuse to sell it. There are stores that do not sell cigarettes, period. So that's an option that they have. And I know the FDA is finalizing guidance in how to remove all non-tobacco flavors of e-cigarettes. And this is including the mint and including menthol. So they're saying that, I don't understand this. Although companies may be able to later, if they remove all this, later reintroduce the flavors if they submit an application and get FDA approval. I just read that.
Oh. What?
I know, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. But I read it, and it makes no sense. But it says that FDA is coming down trying to finalize how we remove all these non-tobacco flavors. And they want to include mint in there. They want to include menthol. And then, just, I guess, kind of to placate those, they say, well, you know, this may not be permanent. You may be able to get your an application and then get permission to get FDA approval, and then you could have your flavors again. It's like, I don't understand what that...
I think they might be just trying to feel... Try not to get like a big backlash from the companies. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh, eventually, and next time they bring it up, we'll get to it later. Let's put it on the fridge.
So you get the flavors with added bureaucracy. So it's the same thing, except just more legally difficult and expensive for the government, the companies, and the consumer. Congratulations, right. You screwed over everybody. Right. Good job.
And you hit it. You're right. I mean, that's the way I saw it, and that's why I wrote it down and wanted to read it to you to make sure that I read it correctly and see what your reaction is to that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like a little shocked. So, I mean.
Well, yeah. I think you hit it. It's bureaucracy. It's how you play the game. You know, you placate a different section of folks, those who are for these e-cigarettes and for the flavors. So you tell them, wait, we're not going to do flavors right now. But if you make an application and you get your application approved, maybe later on down the road, well, don't you look like you want to say something.
That application process is just going to take a really long time.
Oh, that could be.
They're pretending to solve the problem.
That could be. Well, in these last couple of minutes, suggestions. Where do we go from here? Because one thing we do know, there's no debate about the dangers that are associated with vaping. What do we do? How do we handle this? You all can't get in the bathroom to use the bathrooms at the school because people are in there vaping. I mean, but do you have, again, any other suggestions, any things you feel like we might address, how we might address it? Okay. We didn't even have time to talk about marijuana and the marijuana use among.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to. Well, we got a couple minutes. What's your attitude about that?
Like I said earlier, like I have family members who are medicated for it, and it helps them get through day to day life. And it's, I think, if you are legal to have it, and I know we're talking about teens right now, but my whole just perspective on marijuana and cannabis is that if you are legal to have it, if you are medicated for it, or if it just helps you get through your day-to-day life without having to stress about anything else, then you're good.
Okay, let's define it a little bit more. What about recreational marijuana? Because you're talking about medical marijuana, and you're saying, okay, but what about recreational marijuana? What's your opinion? How do you feel about the use of recreational marijuana? And you got a minute and a half.
All right. I'll go.
Okay.
I'll go quickly. All right. So I really don't like marijuana, but the problem is it's already a pretty popular drug even when it's illegal. And I feel like allowing it to become legalized, maybe taxed a little bit and regulated, would make it safer for everybody.
Okay.
I mean, it hurts me to say it because a lot of people can be couch locked, but if alcohol's legal, why not marijuana?
Okay.
Less addictive.
Okay.
All right.
I agree with both of their points. Yeah.
So you sit in the same place?
Yes.
So, all three of you agree with that. You're not concerned about 12-year-olds?
Darn it.
I mean, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds.
We don't have enough time to talk about this.
As long as they're legal.
Using, and, you know, recreation. I mean...
Yeah.
You're talking about not being developed, the brain's not being developed. Well, I mean, should there be...
If we do make it recreational, it should be like we're talking about, like drinking, like if smoking, like 21. So again, it's not like an 18-year-old giving it to their 16-year-old friends, kind of like the problem we have with e-cigarettes.
And my thing is that like you were 12, 13, 14, 15, you know, all the way till whatever, because technically like recreational marijuana isn't... It's illegal.
That's it. You all have to come back. It appears that it's time to end this 411 Teen broadcast. Many thanks to my listening audience and to the panelists. I appreciate your time and your energy and your interest. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Tunes. The 411 team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.